Wow. Want to? Well, there we go. Got something. Wow, thank you for that time leading us in time of praise and worship and to the honor and glory of our God and Father. That's our purpose. That's what we're here for this morning. And that's a lack of faith. As we look into His Word, I believe that He will lead us, He will guide our thoughts, He will lead our hearts into hearing what it is that He has to share with us this morning. I too want to say a big thank you to the church for pulling together this week and making VBS a successful and a good time to be here. So thank you. It shows the unity, the working together, and the ability for that to happen. For each person doing their part. So thank you for that. Which the title of the message this morning is United in Love. United in Love. I've been working through a little series that is called The Bigger Story. The Bigger Story. And so this morning, continuing that and looking at Ephesians chapter 3, the bigger story in being united in love is more than just about me. It's more than just about what my little life or my little segment of the story that God is writing. It's more than just me. So we're united in love. And I thought about, and one of the things that the question I want to ask is, do you know the love of God this morning? Do you know the love of God? I thought when Karen and I got married 41 years ago, this past June the 4th was 41 years. And when I got married to Karen, I knew of Karen's love for me because she told me that she loved me, right? So I knew of her love for me. But it is only, I have only now, it didn't just happen now, but now I know her love. I know her love when she cooks a meal for me and she can't eat and she's willing to do that for me. I know her love. I know it. I don't just know of it. I know it. And that's the question as we look through this here, as we look through this scripture this morning and we take time to unwrap it, do you know the love of God? Or is it just something you know about? Is it just something you know up here? Well, yeah, I know the love of God. And I can guarantee that when I said the title of this message this morning, that when I talk about the love of God, it's kind of like, yeah, well, I know that. Yeah, we do know that. We know of that. But do you know the love of God? Do you know the love of God? It is imperative that if we are going to live a life of victory in Christ Jesus, that we understand His love for us. That we know His love for us. When we fully understand His love for us, then we will more fully love others. Remember this morning, as we look at the bigger story, it's not just about my little story. It's not just about what's happening to me. But God is writing a bigger story. God is writing a bigger picture, drawing a bigger picture than what we see. So in chapter 3 of Ephesians, I'm not going to break down verse by verse because I think there is a message in the chapter 3 of Ephesians that I want us to capture this morning, and it is that we are united in love and this love that God has for all of us. And so Paul through the Holy Spirit is trying to communicate with the Gentiles is summed up in verses 14 through 21, but I'm going to look at the whole chapter because I believe it's important to capture the whole thing. So in verses 1 through 7, we'll have the mystery revealed. Paul talks about the mystery. He talks about this here, how it was given to him. Then in verses 8 through 13, we have the purpose of the mystery. What is the purpose of the mystery? And then in 14 through 21, the appreciation of the mystery as we see it here in Scripture. In order to move into a bigger story, we need to understand the depth of God's love for everyone, for ourselves and for others. Understanding the depth of God's love for me is going to make a huge difference in how I communicate and how I interact with other people. Once I fully understand and know the love of God here, more than just here, that I know the love of God. And I can guarantee you this morning that Charlotte this week has experienced what it feels like to know the love of God. To know the love of God. And if you're here this morning and you have not experienced that, you have not given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, there is no better day than today. To know the love of God. To be redeemed. To be set free from sin. There is no greater feeling on earth than that. So we ask the Lord to lead us and guide our thoughts and to show us the scripture and how that will unfold. So the first sermon that I preached in this series of the bigger story was about that we live in story, that we are part of a story, we are part of a bigger story. It's not just about my story. Then last time I preached was the unity that we have in Christ. That's what the thing that unifies us together. And then today, as we look at where love has its place in this process of the bigger story. Think about it this way, and I should have put it on the overhead. I thought about it too late. But for myself, for my story, my little story, picture a circle. That's my story. That's where I was redeemed. That's me. That's what's happening to me. And then draw another bigger circle around that circle, and that's us. That's the us part. That is the, you know, whether it's this church or whatever it is, it's involving more people. It's the us. Then draw a circle outside of those two circles yet, and you will find there the bigger story of what is going on and what God wants to accomplish through me, us, and the bigger story. So that's where we'll kind of come from this morning. God wants us to live in his story. He's the writer, not us. God wants us to live in his story. So as we look at the scripture, let's turn to Ephesians chapter 3, and we'll read the chapter and then take some time just to pull some thoughts from the scripture. And again, I invite the Holy Spirit to speak to us as we read his word, because there is no other way that it will get to our hearts than the Spirit speaking. So open your heart to hear the scripture as they are read. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for you Gentiles, if indeed you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which was given to me for you, how that by revelation he made known to me the mystery, as I have briefly written already, by which when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body, partakers of his promise in Christ through the gospel, of which I became a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given to me by the effective working of his power. To me, who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places, according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord, to whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in him. Therefore, I ask that you do not lose heart at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. Verse 14, "For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and the depth and the height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever. Amen." Wow. So we look at the scripture here. And Paul, in verse 1, we find that, "For this reason, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for you Gentiles." Paul is writing this letter to the Ephesians from prison. And we understand from scripture and otherwise that Paul was put in prison. And the story is found in Acts 22, where Paul was speaking to the people on the steps of the temple. And the words are recorded that lit the fuse. He said, "The Lord said to me, 'Go, I will send you far away to the Gentiles.'" And that may not make sense to us. That may not make sense as to why that lit the fuse to have Paul thrown into prison. But as Paul was speaking to the Jewish people there, that God had spoken to him and called him to go and speak to the Gentiles. The crowd listened unto him. To him until he said this, then they began shouting at the top of their lungs, "Rid the earth of him. He is not fit to live." And so it was based upon that Paul was thrown into prison. You say, what's the big deal? What was the big deal with the Jewish people that it was such an offense that Paul saying that God led him to minister to and speak to the Gentiles was a big thing to them? You see, they were stuck in the second level. They were stuck in the second circle, the us circle. And it was offensive to think that Gentile people, whom they believed were the scum of the earth, and some believed that they were the Pharisees actually taught that the Gentiles were useful only as fuel for the fires of hell. And in that if some would actually, Gentiles would actually make it to heaven, then they would be the servants of the Jews in heaven. That was the understanding. That was the mindset that these people were coming from when Paul said, God's going to include the Gentiles. And there is no greater love that God has ever demonstrated to the world than to give his Son that the Gentiles and all might be able to fellowship in harmony with Christ through faith in Jesus Christ. Harmony with God through faith in Jesus Christ. There's no greater love that was ever demonstrated. Do you know the love of God? Do you know the love of God? Because he's speaking to us too. He spoke to us in that giving that God would reach out, that God would make a way, that it was no longer just the Jews, but it would also be the Gentiles who were able to walk in that victory. So it goes on in verse 2, if indeed you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given to me for you, how that by revelation he made known to me the mystery, as I have briefly written already, by which, when you read, you may understand my knowledge of the mystery of God, which in other ages wasn't made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets. And here's the mystery, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ through the gospel. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! If you're here this morning and you're born again, child of God, washed in the blood, say hallelujah. Because there is no greater thing that God has ever done for mankind than to give his Son. So do you know the love of God? Or do you just know about it? Do you know the love of God? Do you feel it? Why is it that Paul, it seems like he was so excited to write it that he could hardly contain himself. And yet when we hear it, it's like, oh yeah, love of God. Why is it that our hearts don't beat within us when we fully know the love of God? So why were the Jews so angry? Because they thought they had a corner on God. They were the chosen people, living in a special city with exclusive access to God through the temple and the law. There's no way that these Gentile people could be part of them. Remember, united in love. See, one of the things that happened was at that time when Paul was saying that there was another way, that there was going to be a sacrifice. There was going to be another way. None of their credentials counted anymore. Being born Jewish doesn't gain you anything. Keeping the law doesn't gain you anything. Worshiping at the temple doesn't gain you anything. You need to be covered by the blood of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. It'd be a little hard to take, wouldn't it? If you think about this, if you were to join the Fox Chase Golf Club and you pay, I don't know if there's a fee or what there is, this may be a little hypothetical, because I wanted to use Fox Chase because it's something you know, but it's a golf course. It's a golf club. Okay, so any club. If you were to join a club and you pay $1 million a year to get into this club and you expect that, you know, you get special attention when you give that kind of money and you join the club and you're part of it, and then a couple weeks or a month or two later, you discover that the club committee, the members committee, they decided that they're going to drop the fee and anybody could come and join the club. And you paid $1 million for it. It almost sounds like a biblical story, doesn't it? Isn't that somewhat? So it really did get to their heart of what they thought was right and what they thought was wrong. And so we recognize here in verse 6 that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise. Hallelujah. Amen. We are fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise. We sit here this morning partakers of the promise as children of God, washed in the blood, cleansed and made pure, of which Paul says he became a minister according to the gospel. And so we go on into verse 8. To me, who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of God. And let me just pause for a moment. If you think that you are the vilest of, that you think you are the vilest of sinners, you can't claim that title. Paul already got it. To me, who am less than the least of all the saints, he says. He recognized. See, here is one of the keys to becoming united in love with Christ, is that I need to recognize my need. I need to recognize my dirty sin. If I'm going to become united in love and know the love of God, I can know of the love of God, and it doesn't change God's love for me. It doesn't change his love for me when I'm a sinner. It doesn't change his love for me when I'm a child of his who does wrong. It doesn't change his love for me. It changes how I know his love, because we feel separated from him. Paul acknowledged right up front that he was a vilest of sinners that needed a Savior. And that's what we all need to do. Even if we are children of God and we have sinned and we have fallen short, God's love is still there for you. God's love is still there for you. And you can know the love of God again. You can know it again. If it doesn't feel that way now, you can know it again. Admit. Confess. Confess that I'm in need. And we go on into verse 9, and it says, to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Christ Jesus Christ. To the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places, according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in him. We have boldness and access with confidence. We can come to him and we can be made pure and we can be made holy. And here in verse 10 is where I want us to camp just a little bit. To the intent, what was the purpose of the mystery? It's found in verse 10. To the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church. To whom? To principalities and powers in heavenly places. When the church experiences and functions in the love of God, in the love of God, not just knowing about, but in the love of God, it speaks to principalities and powers in heavenly places. And that's sobering to me. God is using the church to show his love to the princes and powers in the spirit world along with the physical world. Because the Bible says that by this shall all men know that you are my disciples. Is what? Is that you have love for one another. But what I find interesting is that our love, the love of God, being rooted and grounded in the love of God, is showing the principalities and powers who we are in Christ. And it disables them. I believe that. For the church to do this, we need to be united in love. Some of you know that we've had some involvement recently with Keith Yoder from Teaching the Word. And Keith shared with us that a number of years ago, I don't know how many, I failed to ask him how many years ago this survey was done or where this report came from. There was 75 church splits north of Route 30. There was almost none south of Route 30. We live in a principality. We live in a principality here. We live in a principality of division. There is a spirit of division that would love to destroy every church in Lancaster County. We live in a spirit of, there's a spirit of division at work, destroying and trying to destroy. I'm asking you as a church to pray with your leaders that this spirit has no place. That it will be shown to the principalities and the powers that New Covenant is not a place that can function. Remember this when you pray. Not flesh and blood. Not flesh and blood. It is not flesh and blood, it is a spirit. We live in a principality that we need to be aware of and that we need to have our hearts in tune with. Pray that God will open our eyes, that if this spirit is trying to divide, that it will be able to see clearly. Because one of the things that I believe that this spirit of division does is it blinds the eyes to be able to see clearly. And I stand before you in humility, recognizing the influence of this Spirit in my own life. If you're experiencing an us and them mentality, then I suggest you check the Spirit. Because in Christ there should not be an us and them within the body. When we're united in love, there should not be an us and them. That doesn't mean that we always agree with each other. But we need to be aware of the spirit of division because it destroys the purpose of the church. It destroys the purpose of the church. So the church serves two purposes in God's plan. We are for the breaking down of walls of hatred, suspicion, which divide humanity. Hatred and suspicion, which divide humanity. We, the church, have been called to break down those walls. We are the staging ground for the release of the mighty power of Christ to draw all persons to himself. We are the staging ground for the mighty power of Christ to draw people to him, not to us, not to New Covenant, not to Hinkletown, whatever it might be, not to us, but we are to draw. We are the staging ground that will draw people to Christ, that will draw people, will want more of what is happening in your life. And there's nothing Satan wants more than to destroy that. Because it is the effective working of the Spirit within the body of Christ when the body fellowships together in the unity of love of God. Not just knowing about it, but functioning together in unity. First, we must understand how much God loves me. I can't love others. I will never love others to the extent that God wants me to until I understand how God, until I have experienced how God loves me. Do you see what I'm saying? I cannot be what God wants me to be until I have truly experienced or felt and know that God loves me. And for many of us, maybe there's some here this morning that are struggling with, does God really love me? I invite you to dig into the Word. I invite you to seek the Lord. Knowledge is some of it, but it's not near. It's not near what God wants us to experience. It's not just not, but knowledge can lead us to understand the love of God. Second, we must understand how much God loves others. If I'm going to function together in unity of love, in unity in love, then I need to understand how much God loves you. I need to understand how much God loves you. I need to understand how much God loves you. Laying aside everything that I feel, everything that I experience, I need to know. I need to experience how much God loves you. It's not just this tribe. It's not just me. Not just this tribe. There's a bigger story. There's a bigger story that we're involved in. And embrace the realization that God's love goes way beyond my circle. Me, my circle, it goes way beyond that. Is much bigger than that. Let's read on in verse 14. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, for this reason, that God was loving enough, that God cared enough to reach out to the Gentile people, that love was made known. Paul says, I bow my knee, and he prays for the church, for whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the what? The inner man. That we are strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love. And let me just take a minute there, just with that, being rooted and grounded in love. I think it is imperative that we as God's children are rooted and grounded in the love of God. It's what holds us there. It's the love of God that will hold us when things get rough, when we don't understand each other, when we disagree with each other, when we're grounded and rooted in God's love, then we see differently. And our hearts are open. May who are being rooted and grounded in love, verse 18, may be able to comprehend with all the saints, what is the width, the length, and the depth, and the height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. Don't miss that. Verse 19, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. It's more than knowing. It's more than up here. It can start here and work into our hearts, but it's more than just knowing. That you may be filled with the fullness of God. Is it sometimes that it feels kind of boring is because we don't really get it? The whole love of God? Kind of, what's for lunch? We're tempted to yawn instead of dance. Paul's not praying that God's people would know that God loves them, but that they would know God's love. I know that water is made up of H2O, two parts hydrogen, one part oxygen. And when I'm out and working in the flower beds and around the house there, and I'm sweating and I'm hot and my throat is parched and it's dry and I'm thirsty, it doesn't do a thing for me to know that H2O is made up of two parts hydrogen and one part oxygen. It doesn't do a thing. It doesn't do a thing for me to quench my thirst until I go in and take a long, tall, cool drink of water. And I see some of you swallowing now. Oh, you're thirsty. But I experience it. Until I feel it go down into my stomach and refresh me and cool me off. I have nothing. I can know all day long the chemical makeup of H2O until I drink the water. It's nothing to me. Until we can know about the love of God, until we have it as part of us, until it gets down on the inside and gets into the inner man, that it will make no difference. It will make no difference to us. And how we function, because it's all going to be about me. It's going to be about the inner circle, the middle circle, the little circle. Because once I understand, then I move out into the us, and from there out into the bigger story that God is writing. Paul prayed that we would comprehend, that we might comprehend with all the saints what is the width. What's the width of God's love? You can't put a limit to it. What is the width of God's love? It includes more than me. It includes more than my family. It includes more than New Covenant. What is the width of God's love? And he goes on and he says, to know what is the width and the length. It goes beyond where you can go. It goes beyond where you can go. the length, and the depth. It goes to the lowest part. There is no part of the earth. There is no low point that you can go to. There is no place that you can go to that the love of God does not reach. And you might be here this morning and you feel so dirty in sin that you don't even want to look at yourself. And you certainly don't want God looking at it. I invite you this morning to open your heart to let God have a look at it, because His love will meet you right there. I promise you, I know it. It will meet you right there at the deepest place. And the height of His love. The height of His love. To know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. How is it that we are filled with the fullness of God? That we know the love of God. That we know it. Not just know of it. We know it. And he ends in verse 20 and 21 as I conclude. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. He is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you can ask or think because of the power that works in you. The spiritual realm, the principalities and the powers will know because of our love. They will know. To him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. And my challenge to you this morning as we leave this place is that we will know, that we will be aware, that it will be more than just head knowledge, but bask in, accept, and believe that God loves you, because it's in that you will love others the same way. So it's my prayer for us today that as we go out into the world, as we go to our families, as we function together as a church, that we will be united in love, not just know about it, but be united in it. Father, I thank you this morning for your goodness. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity we have of your word. Father, I thank you that we can call you Father. I thank you that you are a God who has prepared a way. You have made it possible for us to be your children. And you have made it possible for us to be partakers of the promise. Lord, I thank you this morning for that. I thank you for the mystery that you have made known to Paul that to share with us, that we have the privilege today to be able to read it and to know that it comes from you. Father, I pray for your protection on the church this morning. Lord, as we talked about the principalities and the powers, Lord, I pray that this would be a place that would be off limits for the enemy. God, I pray for protection on each heart, because the church is made up of people, made up of individuals. Lord, I pray for our protection. I pray for my protection, Lord. I pray that you would give me eyes. I pray that you give us eyes, Lord, to be able to recognize the enemy, to see him for who he is, that it's not flesh and blood, but that it is a spirit. And it's in the spiritual realm that we do this battle this morning, Lord, inviting you to drive out, to watch over, to protect, and to give us sight to be able to see. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Thank you for the shedding of Jesus' blood that cleanses us and makes us whole before you, and gives us the ability to stand as we are right now in the Holy of Holies. Lord, if there are things that are hidden here, if there are sins, Lord, that need to be confessed, that need to be brought before you, Father, I pray that you would move as only you can do, and that there would be an experience of your love. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together for a closing song. If you feel like God is speaking to you this morning with something you need to make right at the altar, don't be afraid. Come and kneel. This may be your day, your opportunity. I invite the chorister to come and lead us in the closing song.